This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So I have been exploring a lot of things on a personal level in the last 72 hours. So just to give you some context, I'm literally 4 days out from our annual event, Impact Lives. And this year, we're not surprised, was different than we had done before. Normally, we put 250, 300 people in a room. And obviously, that was not possible this year. We needed to create this incredible three-day event experience, and we needed to do it online. And we needed to make it not feel like a regular Zoom experience. And we needed to sell our mastermind, and we needed to do a whole lot of things. Needless to say, the experience of building Impact Lives in 2020, where things don't always go according to plan, it stretched me way outside my comfort zone. It stretched us because our team had not necessarily managed this type of technology before. We didn't know if our audience was going to be able to take to this kind of technology, if they were going to know how to log in, if they were going to know how to do all the things. We didn't know how to get people to show up. When I talked to my friends, they were telling me that expect 40 to 50% of the people that you sell tickets to actually come. There were a lot of things that we were managing behind the scenes. I also knew that we needed this event to be successful. I knew that this was the time where we opened the doors to our mastermind. We only do that twice per year. I knew that that set the stage for the income that we would have that were going to allow us to engage in new projects for 2021, projects I had already committed publicly to executing upon. There were a lot of things on the line in the creation of this particular event. And so coming off of it, sitting back and recognizing that I was hanging out way beyond my comfort zone, that we had pulled something off that all of us were surprised was executed upon on our end, It came off fairly flawlessly. There was no catastrophes. There was no managing things like mad behind the door. We planned and overplanned and tried to imagine all the things that we needed to understand that could go wrong and how we would compensate. And we did a great job. And we're tired. And in doing this and in executing at this level and in realizing that we stretched ourselves well outside our comfort zone in terms of how hard we pushed ourselves at the end of a hard year, a comfort zone of publicly standing up and attempting to do something that we had never done before. I realize in hindsight, I knew that I was anxious about it, but I was carrying a different level of anxiety than I ever had before. I know how to step out on a stage. I know how to look around the room and see what's missing. This time, I was literally alone. I was literally alone in a 900 square foot room with cameras everywhere, trying to maintain the energy that I was used to doing in a different environment. And while it was nerve-wracking, it was also exciting. And the reason I'm sharing all of this is because 4 days before this event, I was not practicing what it was that I was supposed to say. I wasn't rehearsing my lines, as it were. I was crafting in my head the letter that I was going to write to everyone that would accompany the return of their investment in this online event, because I just didn't think I could pull it off. Not because my team wasn't doing what they needed to do, not because we hadn't sold all of the tickets, but because I was so far outside my comfort zone. I was scared to take another step forward. Now, in the end, obviously, we executed, we made it happen, and I knew we would, but the fantasy of backing out was growing larger every day. And so in exploring those feelings and exploring how the event came together and in really sitting with how I feel on the opposite side, I reflected on a number of things that I learned. In fact, I was able to number them. There were 10 core things that I really learned about myself and about my team and about the benefits of stepping way outside your comfort zone. See, the thing that I realize first and foremost is that when we're that far outside the zone and we put that much effort into it, you stop caring about what other people think. When you have so much on the line, when it matters to you and you alone and your mission, the stalling and the second guessing that happens when we start to worry what other people think about what we're creating, it starts to disappear. And one of the things that I really recognized in all of this is that if I want to create less space for the opinions of others in areas that don't matter, I need to dream bigger and I actually need to execute in a manner that is bigger than I originally thought possible. See, if you're teetering in that place where you're worried about what people think, if you're scared to go online and do a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live because of what your colleagues might say, I need you to reconnect to your mission and I need you to think even bigger. Because when we think even bigger, when we put more on the line, we create less space for their opinions to matter. The second thing I learned is that you need to make room to recover. We need to worship the balance between execution and recovery. I talked about this all the time as a naturopathic doctor, and I've really mindfully removed any engagements in my calendar this week so I could take the time to not just recover physically, to not just sleep in, to not just create that mental space, but to also do something as part of my recovery that I actually hadn't carved out space for before, which was to sit back and actually just appreciate the accomplishment on the table. Sometimes, especially I find with entrepreneurs, we execute and we do something and we are on to the next thing. And there's been something really magical about taking the time to sit in the accomplishment of this event, to revel in the execution of an amazing team, and to read the commentary and feedback from the people who participated. One of the things I learned, and I would really encourage you to include in your recovery process, is the some time to acknowledge the work that went into the fatigue in the first place. Sometimes we push and push and push. We push for our families. We push because we have to. But we need to step back and honor that contribution as well. The third thing I realized coming out of this event and through this event is that you need to manifest like a mofo. Now, what do I mean by this? I remember when the movie The Secret came out and everyone was talking about this idea of manifesting and getting clear and the universe would provide. And I had a real resistance to that. And I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I had this resistance to it because I was like, darn it, like you've got to work hard too. You can't just sit back and the universe will provide it. And I heard so many people after that movie who are like, oh, I'm just going to trust the universe on this one. But they had no plan around execution. Similarly, I spent a great deal of my life and time and career pushing through and working hard, but never taking the time for the manifestation. You see, I think the two pieces, well, I know the two pieces have to work in concert. We had a number we wanted to hit for this event. I was explicit in this number. A friend asked me what it was. I told her what it was. And then I wavered a little bit. I went up a little bit, up, down a little bit. She looked at me, she's like, what is the darn number, Megan? Just pick the number. And I told her what it was. And as we came out of our event, we were two over that number. And in the 48 hours since, we had two people who pulled out of our program. We landed exactly on the very random, and it was random, number of people that I had manifested to come into our program to lead us through the next year. So the thing about manifestation that I realized is not only do you have to do it and combine it with hard work, please don't do hard work without setting the intention of what you want, but boy, do you need to be specific. Not specific around, oh, what do I think I can pull out? But like, if we really dream big, what does that number look like? And we need to hold space for that manifestation so that all of your hard work knows where to flow. The fourth thing I learned is that you need to control your state. See, it's easy when you're going to push yourself outside your comfort zone to slip into a state of anxiety or panic or doubt. Every year I have a playlist. Every year I have a song. Usually I fall back on some sort of musical because I just find they're so great at creating human connection. And this year I created a playlist all around Hamilton because I found his character so compelling. I found his story so compelling. I found his urgency and commitment fascinating. And so I made a playlist largely comprised of music from Hamilton. I spent time on my Peloton. I don't even know how many times I have done the Hamilton ride on my Peloton. But I would do it because when I was slipping into a state of doubt or I was feeling excessively anxious, I could put on that playlist and I could remember why I was doing this. I could remember why I was not hanging out with my kids for the last several Saturdays. I could remember why I was okay going to bed anxious. I could remember why I was willing to be a little bit tired. It put me back into my state of flow. It reconnected me to my commitment and it reconnected me to my mission. In fact, right up until the last minute before we went live for Impact, I was listening to my shot from Hamilton. That was the song that would put me in the zone. Because as much as I wanted to give everyone back their money and just lie on the couch and watch some Netflix, I was simultaneously compelled to not miss my shot, not miss the chance to do something totally new. And yeah, we were taking a risk and yeah, it might not have worked. But here's the thing, at the end of the day, what was the downside of trying? What was the worst case scenario? The fifth thing I learned is that you are nothing without your team. Now, I know people talk about team before, but I really could not have pulled this off without my team. It also made me realize, and I knew, and I've spoken about this before, that there's really no such thing as a self-made man or woman. Because you reach a point in the escalation of your contribution where you cannot go it alone. You can't go it alone because you need your family's support. You can't go it alone because you literally can't do all of the things. The other thing I realized about team, as I walked into this booth, this technology booth with sliders and all sorts of gadgets that I couldn't possibly understand, is that not only do you have to build the team, you have to empower them to do their jobs and you need to get out of their way. See, they need to have buy-in on the vision. They need to be able to lean on you as a leader, but they don't need you to micromanage their work. I think one of the things that enabled us to be successful in this execution is everyone knew what their job was and no one got in anyone else's way. We functioned truly as a team and as a team that could trust one another. And as a leader, it reinforced for me that as we take things to the next level, one of the areas I can never slip back into is micromanaging the work of my team. Be clear in the outcome you want them to achieve and give them the opportunity to be successful in that endeavor. The sixth thing I was reminded of, because I knew this already, I didn't learn it, is you have to take care of your health. You have to keep yourself strong. You have to keep yourself in a state where you might not get to eat in your ideal way. You might not get to exercise in your ideal way on the day of the event, but you can't let it slide before. See, the body is robust and the body is resilient and the body, frankly, is meant to go through periods of episodic stress. We can do that, but we can do that especially well if we care for our body before and we care for our body afterwards. It's part of the recovery process. The seventh thing I learned is that you need to focus on the possibility. This is different than the manifestation. This is about focusing on all of the good that can come out of the stress, all of the good that can come out of the challenge. Multiple times in the process, I found myself attempting to manage my anxiety by having a conversation that historically had worked well for me, which is, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst case scenario? Often if I confronted the worst case scenario, I could know how to walk into the situation. And while there's a power in acknowledging the worst case scenario to take yourself out of an acute state of anxiety, the problem with focusing on the worst case scenario is we don't necessarily, in an exclusion, is that we don't leave room to focus and strive for the possibility. And the possibility is where the manifestation hangs out. The possibility is where you get to do the reach. Because if all you do is focus on the worst case scenario, that's exactly what you will create. So we can acknowledge the worst case scenario en route to the possibility. And so as I would catch myself focusing on, oh, here's the worst that could happen, I had to stop myself and remind that where I was aiming was not for the worst case scenario. Where I was aiming for was exactly what I was trying to manifest. And it took a conscious endeavor to pull myself out of that state of mind. And it's a reminder moving forward that we need to focus on the possibility. We need to focus on the good. We need to focus on our strengths, not sit there and micromanage our weaknesses, not fixate on our weaknesses, but reinforce our strengths. The eighth thing I realized is that there's a power to getting curious about your feelings. I've referenced this multiple times that I was feeling anxious walking into this event. That would be an understatement. But I also took the opportunity to get curious about how I was feeling. About 3 weeks before we had this event, we had a guest come in and speak to our code group, and her name was Dr. Joan Rosenberg. And her book is called 90 Seconds to the Life You Love. And what Dr. Rosenberg spoke about, she's a clinical psychologist, is that we engage in all sorts of behavior to avoid uncomfortable feelings. And she was like, what she finds so fascinating as a psychologist is most of the time, those feelings are fleeting. Most of the time, those feelings will manifest and they hang out for about 90 seconds and then the body starts to dissipate those feelings. And if we actually reflect on what I even just said, she talks about the fact that feelings are actually just a physiological state. It's no different than pushing really hard on your Peloton. And it's not about creating a cognitive dissonance from feelings. It's about just sitting in them and being curious about the discomfort. I remember doing that when I was in labor, my 10-pound children. I was like, okay, this time I'm just going to actually get curious about the feeling, recognizing that I'm not in danger, recognizing I'm not standing in fire, recognizing that this is what my body was supposed to do. I got really curious about those feelings. And it was a fascinating three-dimensional examination of, in that case, physical pain. And in this case, total anxiety. In some cases, like full-blown panic. But what I found was that as I got curious and I was willing to allow myself to sit in those feelings, to sit in a state of sadness, to sit in a state of anxiety, not only did I start to feel it dissipate, but I got really curious about what it meant. See, we do this thing where we're like, all I want is for my kids to be happy. All I want is for my kids to never feel depressed. All I want is for my kids to never feel anxious. In fact, we have an entire pharmacopoeia of options that we can provide to people so that we avoid having those feelings. It was really interesting because I asked Dr. Rosenberg, what does she want her kids to feel? If it's not happiness, where does she want them to go? And she's like, oh, that's so simple. I just want for myself or for my kids or for my patients, I just want them to experience inner peace. And the fastest way towards inner peace is to get curious about your feelings and to understand where they're coming from so you can confront the root cause, not the management of the feeling itself. I found this so fascinating, coupled with the conversation with her and having the opportunity to feel feelings in an extreme way. It allowed me to tap in and really start to understand and articulate and connect with the origin of some of these pieces, and it's going to form a powerful part of how I walk into 2021. The ninth thing I realized is that you should copy other people's excellence. That does not mean copying other people's work. That does not mean plagiarizing what they are doing. Copying other people's excellence means sitting back over the course of 2020 and watching other people execute on incredible events, watching what worked, watching what didn't, and leveraging their work as a pioneer, their work as someone who took the risk in front of me, their work as someone who laid the foundation and the footprints to build on it. I've called numerous people in the last few days to thank them for conversations we had this year because they tried some of these things earlier than we did. And we benefited from that. We benefited from them saying this worked and this didn't. Try this, don't do that. See, that's part of being a leader. They didn't keep the secrets to themselves. They didn't take the learnings and then hope no one else figured it out so they could do better next time. They took the learnings and they handed them off so that we all can engage in a new level of excellence. So just as I was able to benefit by copying other people's excellence, I'm happy to share the things that we were able to execute upon so it helps you in your journey and your success. Copy other people's excellence. Don't reinvent the wheel. Honor the journey that they took and thank them for it. And the 10th thing that was reconfirmed for me in the execution of Impact Lives is that you can't wait for confidence. Confidence is not something we're given. It's not emailed to. You can't buy it. There's no Black Friday sale. Confidence is the product of taking courage. We circled around this all weekend long as a primary theme. But one of the things that emerged, one of the things I've had the pleasure of sitting with over the last few days, is a different level of confidence in executing in this medium, a different level of confidence in my audience, of believing that if we want to try something new, that they're actually going to stand with us and allow us to make that experiment. And believe me, we've got some experiments we're going to attempt in 2021. Don't wait for confidence. Don't wait for the right time. Courage is the currency that will enable you to drive forward. Courage is the currency that will purchase the confidence for you. And it's the only currency that confidence will be released to. There is a lot of possibility in 2021. There are also a lot of elements of 2020 that are not going to change immediately. More than ever before, I truly believe that this was the year of vision. This was exactly the year it was supposed to be. It forced us to confront our limiting beliefs. It forced all of us to realize what we are made of. It forced all of us to get outside the box and to be innovative and be creative and to be all in it together. All of the lessons that actually help build a visionary future, that help build visionary leaders. I believe it's a limiting belief to think that it's always supposed to be easy. And if anyone was hoping for an easy 2020, that was rapidly dashed at the beginning of the year. But I also don't think 2021 is necessarily going to be a walk in the park. But the added benefit that we have walking into this new year is that we are all stronger. And we are all stronger together. We are all more resilient. We can all handle more, and we can all go to bigger places. As the year starts to pull together, as we have this opportunity to reflect, I'm really curious about how it has treated you. I'm really curious about the lessons that you have learned, about the new story you are going to get to write, about the story you're going to tell your children, about what it meant to live through this time. I'm really curious to hear about all of these things, and I'd love for us to gather and share and continue this conversation over in the Anthropology Collective on Facebook. This is our free Facebook group for our community. And as we walk into the next few episodes, as we approach our 200th episode, I'm excited to start to walk and talk this next stage of the journey with all of you. I wish you guys an amazing week. I am Dr. Megan Walker. I will be back here next Tuesday, hopefully slightly more rested and recovered. Go have an amazing week.